4 and chapter 5. I'm going to try to preach on those two chapters today on the subject, they fought from heaven. They fought from heaven. A man opened his lunchbox at work, and the guys that was with him began to look at his lunchbox and realized that all he had in his lunchbox was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The next day he opened his lunchbox. Again, he had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The third day he opened his lunchbox, he had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And they began to kind of laugh at him and so forth and said, you know, you ought to tell your wife to put something else in your lunchbox besides a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He said, I have you to know, I pack my own lunches. I'm the one to put in the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, America has packed her own lunches. And now we're being forced to eat it. It may be sticking to the roof of our mouth. We may need something to wash it down with, and it's getting hard to swallow. And it comes under the subject, we reap what we sow. And the Bible said that sin leads to death, and nations are not exempt from that law. The Bible shows us here in the book of Judges here, that Israel would mess in their own nest, and then they had to sleep in it. And America is now getting exactly what we've been asking for and what we deserve. We eat the fruit of our own deeds. Look at Judges chapter 5 and verses number 6, 7, and 8. The Bible says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, rose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods, then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? Now this verse, those three verses there speak of a society with unoccupied highways, with everyone walking, with the cities emptied, the people taken away in slavery, and people serving other gods. That pretty much describes the United States of America today. As a matter of fact, Israel had sunk so low that a woman was leading them, unheard of in those days of a male-dominant society. And the Bible says this went on for 20 years. Notice there in chapter 4 and verses 3, 4, and 5, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And the Bible says then in chapter 5 and verse 20 through 22, the Bible says there, they fought from heaven, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera, the river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon, O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength, then were the horse hooves broken by the means of the pransings of their mighty ones. God had raised up Deborah. They fought from heaven, the Bible said. God fought for His people from heaven, and you cannot fight against God. I think that many people have given up on America too quickly. Perhaps for the righteous sake, out of God's mercy, once again, He will get our attention and grant us days of victory once again. Notice here the Bible says that Sisera and his army thought their chariots of iron would give them victory, but it was the same chariots that led to their defeat. They drove heavily into the mud, got stuck, and drowned. Notice in Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let me ask you this morning, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in our military might? Are you trusting in the government this morning? What are you trusting in today? I know I'm trusting in the Lord our God. I hope that you are. And this great victory of Israel was led by the woman Deborah. But another woman also had the privilege of slaying the general Sisera. Notice Judges chapter 4 again and verse number 17. The Bible said, howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, And it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, and so he died. She hit the nail right on the head, didn't she? She knew how to get, you men better behave, okay? Because if you go to sleep and your wife is mad at you or some woman's mad at you, you might not wake up, all right? Now, Judges chapter 5 and verse 24 tells the same story. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, she gave him milk. Milk would put him to sleep more than water would. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. Many women in the Bible were called prophetesses and had supernatural wisdom. And God used these women mightily, and His angels fought from heaven. And you never know how God will fight battles for His people. Now, you and I today, we deal with heavy taxation, with lousy representation. But God, we need to remember this, God controls the winds. He controls the waves. He controls the economy. He controls the peace that we have. And the reason is, He's still on the throne, and He's in full control of the affairs of men. And we need to remember that God would much rather forgive than He would to judge. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then He said, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. In Judges chapter 5 and verse number 20, they said they fought from heaven. The stars in the courses fought against Sisera. The whole universe is against the man who is against God. We need to be sure that we're on His side. Moses asked this question in the Old Testament. Who's on the Lord's side? Abraham Lincoln was asked one day if he thought God was on his side in the Civil War. He answered the question, not is God on my side, but am I on His side? Moses asked this question when the people made a terrible decision and elected Aaron to be their new leader. The whole universe is against the man who is for God. You know why everybody's against Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump is on God's side.
Amen.
Every Democrat in the country is against Donald Trump. Two-thirds or three-fourths of the Republicans are against him because he stands for the truth. He stands for the Word of God. He stands for what's right, and he's against what's wrong. I believe that the whole universe is against the man who is for God. We need to make sure we're on God's side. Let me tell you why you and I are going to win in the end. The Church of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the true Church of Jesus Christ, is on God's side in the abortion issue. We believe that life is precious. We believe that life is sacred. As I looked at these two young babies as they held them up over here earlier in the service, I thought, my, how precious that they are. How precious that they are. I mean, a lot of young babies in the church, a lot of young children in the church, and a lot of women are expecting babies in the church. And I thought, my, how precious that they are. Thanksgiving Day, we found out that we have a granddaughter that lost a little baby. And, you know, it seems like that we hear that often anymore, don't we? Some mother and some father that really wants another child. Yep. Seems like that they're losing those children. And it seems like they're so sad when they lose those children. But we're on God's side in the abortion issue. And I don't care, you know, what side Nancy Pelosi's on or Chuck Schumer or anything like that. They're on the wrong side. They're on the wrong side. Somebody asked Joe Biden the other day, what's the first thing you're going to do when he gets in office? He said, I'm going to put all the money for abortion that I can possibly find. I thought, boy, I tell you, you talked about a hot time in hell. He's going to have it. He's going to have it. We're on God's side on the marriage issue. If not another man and woman get married, we're still on the right side. Still on the right side. Bible says marriage is between one man and one woman. Not between two men, not between two women. Between one man and one woman till death do them part. I held my wife's hand the other night. I prayed and she passed away. 51 and a half years. I wish I'd have had 51 and a half more years, but God called her home. I don't regret one minute being with her. I'll tell you what, we got married March the 23rd, 1969, down at Camp Joy. We met at Camp Joy. She was 14 years old and I was about 15. We got married, she was 16 and I was 18. You say in the marriage you'll never work that young. Well, that worked for 51 and a half years. So this, if you think it won't work, I guess it didn't work. I'm telling you, I loved her the day I met her. And brother, I loved her the day she died. Marriage is between one man and one woman.
Amen.
We're on God's side when it comes to the marriage issue.
Amen.
We're on God's side when it comes to the Bible issue.
Right.
There's one Bible.
Right.
I've got a copy of it right here. If you don't have a copy of it, after the service, I'll go buy one for you.
Amen.
It's the King James Bible.
Amen.
Let me share something with you. A lot of people say, well, the New King James is the same. It's not.
Right.
The New King James omits the word Lord 66 times.
Yeah.
Why would you want to omit the word Lord one time?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
The New King James omits the word God 51 times. Why would you want to do that?
Right.
Why? Why? The New King James omits the word heaven 50 times. Heaven sounds sweet to me.
Amen.
The New King James omits the word repent 44 times. Jesus preached repent.
Amen.
John the Baptist was a repentant preacher. The New King James omits the word blood 23 times. The New King James omits the word hell 22 times. Jesus preached more on hell than he did about heaven.
Amen.
The New King James omits the word Jehovah entirely. The New Testament is omitted entirely in the New King James. The New King James omits the word damnation entirely. The word devils is not found in the New King James at all. The King James Bible in Luke 9:56 says, "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, and they went to another village." The New International Version says, "And they went to another village."
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, isn't that instructive? Matthew 18:11 says, in the King James, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." It's not even found in the NIV.
Right.
Not even there. In Matthew 9:13, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:13 in the NIV, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Yeah.
Are they called into breakfast, lunch, or supper?
Yeah.
What are they calling them to? Luke 2:33, King James, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of them." I love this one. Luke 2:33 in the NIV, "The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him."
Yeah. It's a lie.
It's a lie out of hell.
Right.
A lie out of hell. Joseph was not the father of Jesus.
Right.
Mary was conceived by the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Did Jesus give His disciples power to heal? Not according to Mark 3:15, the NIV only gave Him authority to drive out demons. Mark 3:15, King James, power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. In Mark 11:26, King James, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Not even found in the NIV. 1 Corinthians 10:28, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." In 1 Corinthians 10:28, in the NIV, the last part of that verse is missing. Matthew 5:44, in the King James, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Matthew 5:44, the NIV, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." John 16:16, in the King James, "A little while you shall not see me, and again, a little while you shall see me because I go to the Father." John 16:16, the NIV, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me."
Yeah.
Didn't say where he's going.
Yeah. Right.
Fishing, going fishing.
Yeah.
Going deer hunting.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going, didn't say. What did Moses say when he was trapped by Pharaoh and the army at the Red Sea? "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You see, success in the Lord is finding out which way God is moving and then getting on board.
Amen.
You don't move and ask God to get on board. How many times do we pray, God, bless my agenda?
Yeah, that's it.
Huh? Bless my agenda. Not, Lord, which way should I go? But, Lord, bless my agenda. I get tickled at these churches that are looking for pastors. First of all, they want your resume. Your resume. Send me your resume. I said, I don't have a resume. Don't know what one is. Okay? So they get the resume. And when they get the resume, you know, they look it all over. You say, well, yeah, I don't know. I ask you this question and that question and so forth, you know. Well, we don't know whether you're the one we want or not. I said, well, who does God want? Who does God want? Have you prayed about it? Well, maybe a little. Well, I said you need to be on your face right there on the altar praying to God. Who does God want to be the pastor? Doesn't matter what you want. Doesn't matter who you want. If you don't move when God moves, you're going to have a head-on collision. It's like you pull up to the stop sign and the light turns green and you sit there. You're going to get hit. You may sit there a few seconds and I got hit, but eventually you're going to get rear-ended. You're going to get hit if you sit there long enough. So you need to move when God moves. You need to stop when God says stop. Move when He says move. And don't move till He tells you to move. Study the history of great civilizations. Egypt, Pharaoh could not stand against God. The heavens came down and fought against him, and his whole army drowned in the Red Sea. The Roman Empire, the strongest in history. But now they're in the ash heap of human history. The Babylonian Empire, they had walls so thick, three chariots could race along the walls side by side, but they were arrogant, saying that they would live forever, but one day heaven fought against them. Isaiah 13:19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Babel couldn't stand either. Will America continue on this course? America has been fighting against God and fighting against God and His ways. Why did we win the Revolutionary War? Fighting the greatest nation on earth was England. I'll tell you why we won it. Because heaven fought on our behalf.
Amen.
Why did we win World War I? Heaven fought on our behalf. Why did we win World War II? We was fighting against the Japanese and the Germans at the same time. Because heaven fought on our behalf. But let me tell you something. We've been losing wars and fighting to stalemates ever since. We didn't win Korea. We didn't win Vietnam. I mean, if you fought in either one of those wars, I'm not condemning you, okay? It's not your fault. You know why? Because we were fighting against heaven. And today, politically and spiritually, we're at a crossroads. Let me give you my take on the election. God routinely removes our weak sources of hope in order to replace them with a strong hope if we will return to Him. Should we be concerned about election results? I don't think we ought to be worried. I don't think we ought to be fearful. Our Christian duties continue regardless of who holds the position of president. We still have a gospel to preach. We still have souls to win. Number one, God's still on the throne. He hasn't vacated His throne and will not for anyone. He's still on the throne. Ultimately, the party controlling the White House doesn't change what really matters. That God's in control. Nothing happens in the world without God's authorization. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God didn't just allow every appointed president. According to Romans, He ordained each and every one of them. I don't understand why. There's some I don't understand why He ordained them. God's decision won't make sense to us, but that doesn't change the truth that the Bible has proclaimed. Secondly, the United States, while beautiful and the greatest country on earth, is not our final home. Philippians 3:20 explains where our citizenship truly lies. For our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was holding the hand of my wife the other night at Mercy Hospital and praying with her, had two granddaughters there. My sister Judy was there. And I could tell by the monitor she wasn't here for long. I told them, I said, if you got something to say to her, I said, you better say it. The hearing is the last thing to leave. And I said, if you got anything to tell her, you better tell her. And I thought how great it would be, Pastor. I get some people, this is morbid, okay? How great it would be. Her last heartbeat, mine would quit. And we'll go out of this life together. Yeah. Now you say, you're nuts. No, I'm not nuts. You may not understand it.
Right.
You may not understand it. Well, she went on out and God left me here. Why, I don't know. But God left me here. And I had two granddaughters with me, Michaela and Adriana. They began to talk to her, tell her that they loved her, and all this and that. In the grand scheme of things, our time on earth is brief. Myra was 68 years old. Had fought multiple sclerosis for 22 years. But our time here is small compared to the eternity that's waiting for us. Her eternity started. I'm still left behind. I'm kind of jealous, just to be honest with you. I'm kind of jealous. Let me tell you this. There's only one ruler there. There's no voting machines. No hanging chads. Nope. No next time election results. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
Amen.
Fretting about anything is wrong. Worrying is a sin. I've often said worrying is like a lark rocking chair. Give you something to do, but won't get you anywhere. Believers are to continually take our thoughts and emotions into captivity and practice temperance. The more that someone allows themselves to express frustrations and anger over election results, the more they fail to focus on issues of eternity. And for a few days, I was pretty upset. I'll just be honest with you. But when my wife passed away, I began to think about her family, people in her family that needed Jesus, people in my family that needed Jesus. And the election began to take a big back seat in my thoughts and in my life. People ready to slip out into eternity without God. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Remember to take time each day to clear your head from politics and focus on what matters. That's the Scriptures, the Word of God. Focus on that. Number four, place all your hope in Christ. The hope of every believer is not on anything in this world. My hope is on Jesus Christ and His righteousness. The Bible said our hope is in God and He alone should be where our reliance resides. The United States holds elections often. On each occasion, God is in full control. Not Russia, not the poll watchers, not the Democrats, not the Republicans. Our hope resides in our Savior Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's the solution? I believe it's important that we as Christians vote for and let our voices be heard in each and every election. I believe it's very important. But regardless of the results, the real end result is the same. Jesus Christ is still our Savior and heaven still awaits us. Psalm 43:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let me give you four statements of balance, and then we're done. There is such a thing as a national righteousness. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. We have a very sinful nation today. Very sinful. The Ten Commandments were given to a nation. God commands, not suggests, but commands that we select and elect moral leaders. And we have failed in that down through the years. Our national morality will never rise above that of our leaders. Secondly, there are such a thing as national sin. I've said for years, abortion is our national sin. It's our Holocaust. It's our national sin. Abel's blood cried up from the ground back in the book of Genesis. And God heard it. The blood of millions of innocent babies cries out to God, and He hears from heaven and fights from heaven. Think of all the innocent babies that has died. Think of that. A million to a million and a half a year since 1973. Can you imagine? I look at these young children here. Thank God you had parents that wanted you, and you've got parents that love you. You could have been a number on a board instead of sitting here in church tonight or today, this morning. I won't get into that, but I'll tell you what. January the 22nd, 1973, is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. It was bad law to begin with. We should vote for people based on issues like this that are pro-life. We should look at where they stand on morality. God didn't judge Sodom and Gomorrah for their financial foolishness, but for their sins. Sodomy is another national sin of ours. I tell you, dogs got more sense than that. Dogs and cats are smarter than that. Same-sex marriage is quickly being legalized in many places. And when it's legalized there, then they move somewhere else and expect their sin to be legalized there. Some states will resist, and then they'll take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And boy, isn't the Supreme Court disappointing today. We're undoing the fabric of our own society. The next 4 years we'll see a huge surge of more national sins and terrible decisions that will help bring us toward the end of our journey to heaven. Marijuana will be legalized everywhere. Is everybody's brains left? Abortion will be broadened far beyond what it is currently. Now they want abortion after the baby's born. Some legislators want the baby to be kept alive until mom and dad decide, do we really want the child? Every bit of it's murder. Yes. If the baby's 5 minutes old in the womb, it's murder. Yes. But can you imagine after the baby's been delivered, well, I'm not for sure whether I want it or not. Well, we'll just keep it alive till you decide. I'm sorry, I get upset.
Yes, amen.
I'd sit at home and think about that and just start bawling like a baby. Divorce is so easy and commonplace it rises to the level of a national sin. Myra and I never talked about divorce. She probably wanted to shoot me a few times. We never talked about anything like that. In the 51 years we were married. Vows mean nothing to people anymore. The only thing keeping the rate steady is how few people are getting married at all anymore. They're just shacking up. They're just living together. They don't even care about getting married. Well, are you going to marry him? Well, I don't know. We'll see how we get along. See how we get along. We don't get along. We just break up, find somebody else. Boy. The only thing that keeps the rate steady is few people are getting married. God judged Israel for their cavalier attitude towards marriage and divorce. There's drug abuse, pornography, debt. Do you realize what these stimulus packages are doing? Huh? Them two little babies back there will never live long enough to pay it off.
Right, man.
Huh?
Right.
Keep your $600 or your $2,000. I'll get along without it.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? If I have to shoot rabbits and squirrels and eat bugs.
Yeah.
I don't want your money.
Amen.
You know?
Right.
Oh, I know. It'd be fine to get money in the mail. Oh, boy, I got my stimulus check. Just drove my great-grandkids into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
I got eight of them now. Probably have more before it's over with. But that's all right. I'll be dead and gone. Won't have to worry about it. That's your train of thought.
Right.
Be dead and gone. Won't have to worry about it. Boy, I'll tell you what. You're going to get all kinds of mail on this one. Huh? Pornography debt, buy now, pay later, stick it to your kids and grandkids. These bad morals will be our destruction, not just socialism and high taxes, which also are on the way. Then there's such a thing as a national judgment. That's when the sky begins to fall in. When heaven decides to fight against the nation, let me tell you something, it's too late. So what's the answer to the above? National revival. If Israel teaches us anything, it's that God would rather forgive than to judge. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. He's talking to his people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Have we done that?
No.
Are we going to do that? Remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. This land needs healed. This land is sick. It's sick. Lord, give us another great awakening, another revival. And let me tell you something, folks. We're not going to begin in the House of Representatives in Washington. Not going to begin in the Senate chamber. Not going to begin with Joe Biden in the White House. It's going to begin right here. In local churches, in small towns, in local churches out in the country. If it happens, it's going to start there. If it happens. If my people. Notice the word if. The Holy Spirit put there. Otherwise, it don't have to happen. But if it happens, it's going to happen with God's people. Going to happen with God's people. I'd like to preach something else this morning. I wanted to preach on a message, Does God Care? And all I could do as I begin to make that message out was ball. And so maybe later on I can bring that message. But I'll tell you what, we better get to praying.
Amen.
We better get to exercising our rights as U.S. citizens. What you said Wednesday night was very appropriate for the time that we live in. Have you made those telephone calls? You better make them. Do all that we can. Because I'll tell you what we're doing, folks. We are losing our nation a little bit at a time. And what Donald Trump did is he brought to the forefront what was they were thinking about all along. He brought to the forefront what they were thinking about all along. Let's stand this morning.